Thank you, Mr. Milne, for the words of welcome. Thank you for having us again to bring the final message of the gospel mission. There will never be another time in God's eternity that a meeting like this will be convened. Never in all of God's eternity will a meeting like this ever be convened again. The people will be different. The congregation will be different. This meeting can count for eternity. And I trust that it will count in your soul. And I trust that if you have not responded to Christ already this week, that tonight will be the night that you'll come to Jesus Christ. Thank you for your support and prayers. Thank you, parents, for sending out your children. And we trust that if they haven't come, may it just have been a link in the chain that will have started the process of them to come to Christ. We're going to open God's Word again to the book of Luke's Gospel and the chapter number 19. Luke's Gospel, and it is the chapter number 19. We're going to read a few verses from God's Word, beginning at the verse 1. Luke chapter 19 and the verse number 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen. May God bless the reading of His Word. Let's keep our Bibles open and let's bow our heads in prayer. And let us ask God's help in the preaching of His Word. Our loving Father and our eternal God in heaven, we thank Thee, Father, for again another opportunity in which, Father, the Word of God can be opened and the claims of the Gospel of Jesus Christ can be presented to fallen men. We thank Thee, dear Father, that Thou in love and mercy, Father, has found, Father, those that have still rejected Jesus Christ to be found in this meeting. It is love and mercy, Father, that has not taken them out into God's eternity and caused them to stand before their God and their Creator. We thank Thee, Lord, for just one more opportunity, just one more message, just one more gospel appeal, just one more moment in God's eternity in which, Father, they can move from the kingdom of darkness into the glorious kingdom of Thy dear Son. And Father, for this task, we are not able. We have no sufficiency within ourselves, but we bless Thee that our sufficiency is of the Lord. We cry in the name of Jesus that Thou wilt send forth the Spirit without measure. We cry, O God, with the hymn writer, lift us, Lord, O lift us higher from this carnal mindset free. Fill us with refiner's fire. Give us perfect liberty. We bless Thee, Lord, that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Amen. We thank Thee, dear Father, Lord, that where the word of the King is, there is power. We bless Thee, dear Father, for the promise. The Lord Thy God in the midst of Thee is mighty, and He will save. O God, do this. Lord, we pray that You will eat in the preaching of Thy Word. Let us know the weakness of the vessel. But, O God, we bless Thee that Thou canst fill the vessel. We thank Thee that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of men. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. The city of Jericho and her surrounding villages were a hive of activity. Excitement and expectancy filled the air. For rumor was rife that Jesus of Nazareth is about to enter Jericho. He's on His way to Jerusalem for His final feast, the feast of the Passover, where Christ, the Lamb of God, would be the Lamb slain on Calvary's tree. Sure enough, down the dusty pathway came Jesus of Nazareth. I can see Him as He enters through Jericho that day. I can hear as the gossips and the titter-tatters as they talk about Jesus. Woman over the fence putting out their washing. And there's a noise abroad that Jesus has come to Jericho. I can see as they start to pour out of their houses. And as the Savior passes through the streets, He enters out through the gate of Jericho. And like a tidal wave, the whole inhabitants of Jericho goes out to meet the Savior. It seems to be that the presence of Jesus in Jericho had reached into the civil service of Christ's day, for amongst the crowd and huddled masses we find a civil servant, a tax collector, Zacchaeus by name. We find him in the crowd. I'm sure Zacchaeus woke up that morning like any other morning. I'm sure he just thought it's just going to be another day at the office. I'm sure he thought it was just going to be another day at the Inland Revenue. There was P60 forms that had to be sorted out. There was self-assessment forms and they had to be filed away. There were farmers and they were going to come at the counter and they were going to complain that they were paying too much taxes. And I'm sure he just thought it was going to be another day at the office. But Zacchaeus' life is never going to be the same again. It's never going to be the same again in Zacchaeus' life, because today Zacchaeus is going to meet Jesus. But more importantly, Jesus is going to meet Zacchaeus. And so it is. Whenever the gospel is being presented, it only takes one meeting. It only takes one message. It only takes one word spoken by the power of the Spirit of God to change an individual's life so that their life is never the same again. Maybe you have come to this meeting just expecting it to be another gospel meeting. But I pray that God, by His Holy Spirit, will do something suddenly, will do something supernaturally, and bless God, do something eternally within your soul so that your life will never be the same again, because Jesus is passing this way. Jesus Christ is passing this way. I want us to first of all notice in this passage of Scripture, Zacchaeus and the crowd. Zacchaeus and the crowd. Look what it says in the verse number 2. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. In verse number 2 of this passage of Scripture, we're introduced to a man that had done well for himself. This man had climbed a promotional ladder within his job, so now he becomes the chief among the publicans. And I'm sure with such a position within his job that he gained a position and a certain status within society. The Word of God goes on to say that this man was a very rich man. Money was no problem to him. He didn't have to count his pennies. I'm sure if Zacchaeus had lived today, he would have had a beautiful two-storied house, a BMW in the driveway. I'm sure he would have had a boat at the yachting club. I'm sure he would have been a member at the golf club. I'm sure he would have had plush carpets, well-matured gardens within his place. I'm sure, my dear friend, he had the best of the best. This man had all that money could buy. This man had all that society could give him. The eliteness and people praising him and looking at him going down the street. Although, my dear friend, everything looked well on the outside, yet inwardly all was wrong. Everything within him was wrong. How do I know that? This man had good prospects. This man had a healthy bank balance. This man had a good job, job security. But this man was all wrong inwardly. How do I know that? Because he sought to see Jesus. You see, this man had all that life could give him, and yet he still sought to see Jesus. And how many people there is in society today, and they've got everything that they want. A lovely house, conservatory, beautiful car, lovely wife. And yet they're so empty. Maybe this describes you in the meeting tonight. Outwardly you appear to have everything that the world could have to offer. A lovely home, a beautiful girlfriend, a handsome boyfriend, a good car, a healthy bank balance, a full wardrobe. And yet inwardly within your soul, you know that there's emptiness. You know that there is guilt. You know that there is disillusionment, dissatisfaction with life and misery. I ask you, young man, in this meeting, why are you here tonight? Why are you in this meeting? If you believe that the world has everything that it has to offer you, that it can offer you peace and joy and happiness, why are you in this meeting? Because you know that the world cannot bring these things to your heart. And that's why you're in this gospel meeting. The Word of God says, what shall it profit a man if he would gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And you know, folks, it's not a joke about losing your soul. Not a joke. What would it profit a man or a woman if he would gain the whole world and lose his own soul? I ask you, what are you selling your soul for? Is it a dance on the dance floor? Is it a bottle of Budweiser at the weekend? Is it the parties, the discos, your friends, your girlfriend, your boyfriend? Is it your reputation? What are you selling your soul for? What would it profit you if you gained the world? You know, Zacchaeus had everything and yet he had nothing. Zacchaeus reached the top and you know what he found? There was nothing there. He reached the top and there was nothing there. And so it says in the verse number 3 that he sought to see Jesus. In Zacchaeus' search to meet the Savior, he encountered a problem. He encountered a problem, for it goes on to say that he sought to see Jesus, verse 3, who he was, and could not for the press because he was little of stature. Zacchaeus' problem was not that he was small. That was not his problem. A lot of preachers think that that's what Zacchaeus' problem. That's not the reason. Zacchaeus' problem was not that he was small, because if he had came to Jesus like Nicodemus on a one-to-one basis, there would have been no problem for him to see Jesus. The problem was not that he was small of stature. The problem was that he got caught up in the crowd. That's what his problem was. This man got caught up in the crowd. And the crowd hindered his vision from seeing Jesus. Because of the crowd, he could not see Jesus. And I want to ask you in this meeting, unsaved young man, unsaved young woman in this meeting, has the crowd swept you away? Have you been swept away in the crowd? Has your workmates swept you away from the Savior? Has your university friends, young man, you who used to seek God, you who used to love the Lord, you who used to be found in the prayer meeting, going out on missionary trips, I ask you, has your university friends taken you away from God? I wonder, the lads you hang about with, have they taken you away from God? I wonder, have the guys in the football team or the rugby team, have they taken you away from the Lord? The girls in the hockey team, have they taken you away from the Lord? Has your boyfriend taken you away from God? Has your girlfriend taken you away from the Lord? I ask you, are they worth losing your soul over? Are they? Are they worth you spending eternity in God's hell for? You need to answer that. You need to answer that. Have you been lost in the crowd? This crowd had absolutely no thought about Jesus Christ. They had no interest, they had no concern about the things of God. And you know, there's people in this meeting tonight, and you have no thought about God. You have no thought. And you can talk through the meeting, and you have no thought about God. But there's going to come a day whenever you will stand before Him, and you will give an account of yourself. This crowd had no thought of God. You know, this crowd was heading somewhere. It was heading to destruction. To destruction. The crowd always heads to destruction. What did Jesus Christ say in Matthew 7 and the verse number 13? Enter ye in at the strait gate, because wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Few. That's why Jesus Christ said in Luke 13:24, strive to enter in. Do you know what that word strive means? It means to contend with an adversary. That's what it literally means in the Greek. To contend with an adversary. Whenever you're coming to Christ, there's going to be a battle royale. And there's going to be a battle for your soul. And the devil will try to stop you from coming to Jesus Christ. Do you know what he'll do? He'll put doubts into your mind. He'll say you're too big a sinner. How could you ever come to Christ? Look at your past. How could God ever forgive you of your sin? And he'll put doubts into your mind. He'll say, oh, sure, that Christianity, that's all pie in the sky. That's all pie in the sky. The only reason why these churches are about is to get your money. And the devil will tell people that. And they'll never come to Christ. He'll put doubts into your mind. He'll put fears into your heart. Do you know what he'll say? He'll say, if you came to Jesus Christ, what would your friends say? My dear friend, what would it matter? You should be more concerned about what God is going to say and what your friends would say. You put fears in your heart. What about the family? If I went home and told my family that I was a Christian, you know, they would put me out. I said, one night in the mission, we had a lady giving her testimony from Lisburn Church. And she went home. She was a dear Roman Catholic lady. And she went home and told her mother that she had become a Christian. Do you know what her mother done? Her mother took a razor and held it to her throat and was going to cut that woman's throat. Her father had already signed the notice of her death by the doctor. He had already signed that she was dead. Just because she had become a Christian. What would my family say? What would the church say? You see, everybody in the church thinks I am a Christian. My dear friend, that will not matter whenever you stand alone with God. Mr. Millen will not be here. Your Sunday school teacher will not be there. No pastor, no preacher, no evangelist will be standing before you on that day. It'll be, did you have a personal relationship with me? That's what he'll ask. Strive to enter in. It says, strive to enter in at the straight gate. You know what that word straight means? It means to be narrowed by obstacles standing about. And the devil will put obstacles in every sinner's life in order to stop them from coming to Christ. What about the summer holiday? Sure, that's booked. What about the girlfriend, the boyfriend? What about the football? What about the rugby? He'll put obstacles within people's lives. Strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many, I say, will seek to enter and shall not be able. You know, it's a life and death struggle to come to Christ. It dawned on Zacchaeus something. Do you know what dawned on him? It dawned on him that from his present situation, he wasn't going to meet Jesus. And so he done something about it. Let's see what he done. It says in the verse number 4, and he ran before. I want you to notice something that he done. Zacchaeus came out of the crowd. The Word of God does not say that the crowd ran before. It just says he ran before. He came out of the crowd. And if you want to come to Christ and you want God's salvation, do you know what you'll have to do? You'll have to come out of the crowd. That crowd that has taken you fast track towards death, then to hell, to be resurrected for the great white throne judgment, and ultimately to be cast into the lake of fire. That is where the crowd will take you, sinner friend. You have to come out of the crowd. You know, I'm sure I can see Zacchaeus as he starts to run down the road. I can see the friends and family members as they're looking to one another and they're thinking, oh, where's Zacchaeus going? Where's Zacchaeus going? I can hear his workmates calling out from behind him, Zacchaeus, come back! Zacchaeus, come back! But Zacchaeus isn't coming back because Zacchaeus wants to meet the Savior. Zacchaeus has got an earnestness to meet the Master. He needs salvation and he knows it. And so he came out of the crowd. The Word of God says, come out. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give thee rest. You know what the cry of heaven is for the sinner in this meeting tonight? It's come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you. And ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. You know, young man, you need to come out of the nightclub. You need to come out of the nightclub. And you need to get to Jesus. And you, woman, dear young girl, you need to get out of the public bar. And you need to come out of that ungodly relationship that you're in. And you need to come out of the world. And you need to come out of sin. And you need to come out to get in. You'll have to come out to get in. And what you'll go into is God's family. You'll come into fellowship with God. You'll come into God's forgiveness, God's pardon, God's peace. You'll get into God's salvation. And ultimately, you'll get into God's heaven. Come out. Young man, young woman in this meeting, it's time to come out of the crowd. Come out of the crowd. You know, it's very interesting that the crowd done nothing to help Zacchaeus get to Jesus. Actual fact, they only hindered him. They only hindered him. And so it is the same today. The crowd will never encourage you to come to Christ. You think you're going to work tomorrow and you say to your mates, you know, I'm thinking of becoming a Christian. Do you think they're going to pat you in the back and say, God bless you, go on ahead? Do you think you're going to say that? If you think your friends are going to tell you that, you're living in cloud cuckoo land. You're living in cloud cuckoo land. The world doesn't want you to come to Christ. And the world will always hinder you. You'll tell, maybe you think, well, I'll tell my friends, I'm thinking of becoming a Christian. I can just imagine what the reaction would be. What? One of those holy rollers? One of those Bible bashers? Catch yourself on. Come on out with us on Friday night. Have a party. Come on in the summer holiday. Sure, it's booked. Catch yourself on. Don't be becoming one of those fanatical ones standing down the street handing out gospel tracts. Preaching the gospel and shouting and roaring. Catch yourself on. Sure, they're just madmen. Folks, I don't need to be told that I'm a madman. I know that I'm a madman. But the difference between me and you is that I'm mad and glad. You're mad and sad. You're mad and sad. Mad and sad. I was reading today in Ecclesiastes 9, verse 3. The heart of the sons of men is full of evil. And madness is in their heart while they live. You're a madman. And if you end up in hell, you're a madman. You're a madman. And it will be upon your head. It'll be upon your head. The world will never help anyone come to Christ. The second thing is Zacchaeus and his conversion. As Christ walked through Jericho and through the fields that day, I'm sure the Savior didn't look up into every tree. But what he did do, he looked up into one tree. Just one. But it was the tree of Zacchaeus. Note what it says in the verse number 5. It says, and when Jesus came to our place. Well, it doesn't say that. The Word of God says, and when Jesus came to the place. This was the place that God in eternity past had planned that Zacchaeus would meet Jesus. There was a specific place
in Jericho, or outside Jericho, where this man would come to Christ. It was the place. I just wonder in this meeting, I wonder, is Randallstown Free Church the place where God has planned for your conversion? I wonder tonight, are you in the place that God can speak to your heart? I wonder, has God, through the gospel mission, been bringing you to a place of repentance? I trust that you're at the place tonight. And as the Savior came and looked up into that tree and looked into the very soul of that man, Zacchaeus, note what he says, verse 5 again. He looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Folks, he knew his name. Jesus knew his name. The Savior had never met this man before, but he knew his name. And I want to tell you, he knows your name in this meeting. He knows more about you than you actually know about yourself. He knows you more than your family know about you. He knows the number of hairs on your head. He knows the day of your death. He knows the boundaries that he has set down for you. He knows your future. He knows your past. And he knows your sin. He knows your sin. You may say, but how could God know me? I'm just a small, insignificant speck in the whole of God's plan. I live in a galaxy called the Milky Way. I live on a planet that is revolving round the sun, 365 days a year, whatever the revolving is going round. And I'm just a little insignificant person on a planet. It's blue and green. We call it planet Earth. I live on this Earth with 6.7 billion other precious souls. I live on the continent of Europe. I live on the island of Ireland. I live in the province of Ulster. I live in the county of Antrim. I live in the town of Randallstown. How could God ever know me? Unsaved friend, he knows your name. Because he cares and he loves you. He knows your name. Oh, my dear friends, you know what the psalmist said in Psalm 139? It says, thou knowest my down sitting and my uprising. Do you know, my dear friend, how much God knows about you? He knows the armchair that you sit down on. He knows your down sitting, and he knows the bed that you get up on. He knows what type of mattress you sleep on. He knows your down sitting, and he knows your uprising. He says he understands your thoughts afar off. Do you know what he knows? He knows what you're thinking about now, and you know what some people are thinking? It's 8:05, and it's about time he was shut up. He knows you're thinking that. He knows you're thinking that. He says, thou art acquainted with all my ways. You know what that means? He knows what public bar you were in last night. He knows that you were at Kelly's last night. He knows you were at the beach club last night. He knows you that you were at some other disco last night. God knows that. And God knows that you were drinking last night. And God knows that you were involved in sin that your parents don't even know that you're involved in. But God knows it all. It says, for there is not a word in my tongue, O Lord, but thou knowest it altogether. He knows the dirty jokes you told this week. He knows the filthy tongue that you've got. The filthy stories that you told someone else. He knows your blasphemy. He knows how you've mocked the Christian and how you've mocked the preacher. He knows it all. And I want to tell you, someday, very soon in the future, God will bring you to account at the great white throne judgment seat of Christ. And he will bring all these things before your hearts. And whenever God passes sentence on that day, do you know what, folks? There's no appeal courts in heaven. There's no appeal courts in heaven. And there's no courts of human rights in heaven. And there's no tribunals. And there's no public inquiries. Do you know why? Because there's no miscarriages of justice at the great white throne judgment. Because Jesus Christ, the righteous judge, will judge perfectly. Will judge righteously. Because Abraham said, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And he'll do right on that day. Do you seriously think that Adolf Hitler has got away with killing 6 million Jews? Do you think that Joseph Stalin sent people to the gulags of Russia and put them to death? Do you think that man's got away with it? Do you think Pol Pot of Cambodia has got away with killing and slaughtering his children? Do you think those people have got away with it? You better believe that they haven't. And God will bring the great and the small before God, and God will bring you. God will bring you to account. And what will you say then? What did Jesus say to him? He said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. Could I paraphrase it today in modern day terms? He said, Zacchaeus, hurry up. Zacchaeus, hurry up. Young man, hurry up. Get into God's salvation. Get into a relationship and pardon and forgiveness with God. Sinner friend, hurry up and get to the feet of Jesus. Get to the feet of Jesus. Why should I hurry up? Heaven exhorts you to hurry up. Heaven exhorts you. You know what it says? Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Heaven exhorts you to hurry up. Earth saints implore you to hurry up. You're in this meeting. I know, I've got to know some people in this meeting, and I know some of your parents. And I know some of your brothers and sisters, and I know that they have been praying for your soul. I know on Friday night, whenever this pastor of this church was praying for a young man in this meeting tonight, that man was broken and weeping for your soul. I was thinking about that today whenever I went for a walk. I can understand about a parent weeping over their child. But there is something greater whenever someone who is not related has a burden for somebody else. That is the burden of a soul winner. And your pastor was praying for you. And your pastor was weeping for your soul as he named you in prayer. Our saints exhort you to hurry up. For we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. I pray you in Christ's name, be you reconciled to God. Do you know what else exhorts you to hurry up? Hell's inhabitants. Hell's inhabitants exhort you to hurry up. Luke chapter 16, what did the man say? He said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, because I have got 5 brothers, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Did you ever think that there are people tonight praying in hell for your soul that is unsaved? Maybe a friend that went out to God's eternity without knowing Christ as Savior. Maybe a family member that went out of eternity, into eternity, without Savior. And you know what they're praying? They're praying about this meeting tonight. And they're praying for your soul. Heaven, earth, and hell exhorts you to hurry up. Jesus Christ said, for today I must abide at thy house. The devil always says, tomorrow. But Jesus says, today. Today, if ye will hear my voice, harden not your heart. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. He or she that being often reproved and hardeneth their neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Choose ye this day, today, the 22nd of April 2007. Today, choose you this day who you're going to serve. Why did Jesus Christ say today to Zacchaeus? Because tomorrow he's not going to be here. The shadow of the cross is upon the Savior. He's not coming back to Jericho, folks. He's not coming back. It was the final message. It was the final encounter. It was the final opportunity. And for Zacchaeus, it was now or never. And so it is in this meeting. It's now or never. What does Zacchaeus do? It says that he came down and he received him joyfully. And that's what salvation is. That's what salvation is. It is obeying the call and receiving Christ. But as many as receive him, to them give he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. John 1:12. He received him joyfully. What happened? Something happened in Zacchaeus' life. There was a change. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, and old things are passed away, and all things become new. There was a change in his company. He was once in the crowd, now he's with Christ. There was a change in his conversation, because now he calls him Lord. He wanted to talk about money and everything beforehand, but now it's just about the Lord. There's a change in his concern, because he just was concerned about himself, but now it's the poor. It's now those that are worse off. You know, I was thinking, only the grace of God can get a tax man to give you a tax rebate. Only the grace of God can get a tax man to give you a tax rebate. But you see, that's what Jesus Christ does in the life. He changes them completely. I'm finished, folks. The preaching's over. And by the best of the ability that God has given me, I have tried to preach the word and exhort you to come. I have prayed for you in this meeting. I have prayed for you, young man, in this meeting. I have prayed for you, young woman, in this meeting. And you left it to the final night to come. And you were in this week, and we've been praying for your soul. And our hands are tied. And if I could just urge you to come to Christ tonight. And you'll not waste your life. I'm 28 tomorrow. And at the age of 18, I gave my life back to Jesus Christ. 10 years ago. And he's been no disappointment. And there are young men that I know, and they've wasted their life. And I trust that you'll not waste your life, but that you'll give it to Christ. I pray you, in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God. Don't miss him.